Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Caroline Rex Road here with you on this Tuesday morning. The most popular Rex rant of all time just took place. Caroline Rex Road with a ton of support on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
The people like it.
The people love it. The people want some more of it. Got a text that says, Stillman catching some strays while young Rex Road empties the clip into dear old dad is the Thanksgiving appetizer I never knew I needed.
Now you're ready for some stuffing. Meanwhile, Dennis has just thrown out some greatest hits. The Rex Road's Lint Mints, curiously damp mints, denim flavor. Amazing. Me with eggs and, I mean, the REO Speedwagon actually crouching over an accordion and letting one rip on stage. Honestly,
well done, DJ.
If I could have a gift, it would be his illustrations made into a book. Can you do that for me, Caroline?
That'd be good. That'd be real nice.
Do what?
See, if you don't know what you're talking about, turn off your mic.
Dylan says.
Let's see this.
Dylan says that was absolute radio gold. Trevor says, OMG, please clip her saying Jared's so annoying with the dead emoji face.
Do you have it? Do you have it?
We're going to find it.
Not immediately,
okay.
But I can get it.
That's one that we may have to save.
Stilly has weighed in, says, respect taken from Caroline there. It's good.
Real quick on this, you know, Caroline has ranted about Stillbilly before. This was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was when we were up in East Lansing. Remember you were saying because Caroline Fenton needs to talk more on the show? Like a few months later, we went to like an event. It was like, I forget what the event was for, but they had the dunk tanks and stuff. And she was, so you were like 11. I swear to you that Stilly was still angry. Wouldn't even look at her. I defy him. Oh, yeah. He was still mad because she ranted on him. So
that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, he just.
Good job.
Got another sort of ammunition here.
He's got more. I know. Don't cross paths with him now.
The text line in full support of Caroline Rex Road. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Titans. Coming off a big win against Houston, they got Washington coming up on Sunday. Will Levis, three games in a row where the quarterback play has been improved. Certainly a step in the right direction over the last 3 weeks. We talked earlier about Brian Callahan saying yesterday that there's just more of a comfort between him and Levis. He understands a little bit better the type of throws that Levis can make, what makes him successful in his offense. And we threw that out there yesterday is, you know, how much of that is just more time spent together in the offense that's led to this success. It has been fascinating, Joe, that, you know, it's basically the line of demarcation here has been the injury, right? Like he gets hurt, he plays the Colts game, and then after that he's out. And when he comes back in against L.A., that's when it started to get better. So I don't know how much of it is a physical reset and just getting the arm healthy again. How much of it is just mental of him getting away from it for a little bit and maybe studying some things while he was out and getting a better feel for the mistakes that he was making and how to correct it? I don't know what the full answer is, but for whatever reason, since he's come back from injury, he looks like a different quarterback than he did before. Now, granted, what he looked like before was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. So there was nowhere to go but up, really. But he's done that, and now he's made the conversation – at least for the moment, fascinating heading down the stretch here in the regular season.
Yeah, I think sometimes you forget, too, it's not just his first real opportunity to start. He came in last year, and that was a little bit of house money situation, but it's Brian Callahan's first time as a play caller. Brian Callahan's first time as a head coach, first time with Will Levis. I mean, it's all very early. Ridley's new here. They're new together. And the offensive line is bad, so that is going to complicate doing the job well. Going to make it more difficult. I have to think that the time away helped him to some extent to sit back and probably look the struggles. There was the weight of the world on him. People were asking about it going into the year, and everybody knows the score, the opportunity, and the stakes. of this season for Will Levis. So it almost seems like not only did the reset help him sit back, watch, and that can help you, mental reps, Butch Jones, but also maybe just kind of understanding, look, everybody's giving up on you now, basically. I mean, like as he was sitting there after the way he played, there were not a lot of people, I would argue, who were like, oh, it's going to be fine. He's going to turn it around. He's going to be great,
yep.
You know. And he knows that. He know, you know, it's impossible to not know what the discussion is. And he knew how he played. So maybe there's a little bit of, I don't know if YOLO is the way to put it, because sometimes I feel like there's too much YOLO. There was too much YOLO early with him. But maybe a little bit of like, hey, just go out there and, you know, just play. And, you know, I think he's gotten better. He still threw a pick six last game, worth mentioning. You know, it's not perfect here. But if you took that out, if you take out the pick six, it's a very well quarterback game. I think that was the best he's played other than the pick six.
Well, and then, you know, obviously pick six is not the first one he's thrown this year. Like it's like, what's he up to, three pick sixes now? So that's got to stop. You got to stop throwing pick sixes and giving the other team touchdowns. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, on the whole, let's take these three games together and kind of combine them into one. On the whole, the last 3 weeks, if this is what he is the rest of the year, I guess my question to you, my question to Titans fans is that good enough? Is the last 3 weeks, if that's what he is the rest of this season, is that enough for you to be convinced that he should be the quarterback next season? Forget long-term franchise, here's $55 million on your contract, because I still think we're a long way away from that. Is what we've seen the last 3 weeks good enough to convince you, yep, they should run it back with him one more year and he should be the quarterback next season?
So if you took the last three games, and I don't have the exact numbers, but basically, you know, the last three games, QB rating, you know, you're talking about you'd be an average of about 110 rating over those three games. You've got five touchdowns against two picks.
I've got the numbers for you if you want.
You got the average?
Yep.
Okay.
PK threw this out there yesterday on Twitter. Last three games, he's 53 of 78, which is about 68% completion percentage, 748 yards, five touchdowns, two picks. He's been sacked 20 times, and his passer rating is 107.2.
And his yards per attempt looks like, as I look at it, I mean, you're talking high nines in the yards per attempt, which is a really good number. Yeah, take that and double it. Take that and triple it. Now, granted, if you have one pick six every third game, then I guess if you're taking everything and all those sacks, as we've talked about, some are, he can do a better job of not getting sacked at times. But I mean, that if you took that and you played it out over a whole year, I mean, you're a pretty good quarterback in the NFL. You know, I mean, you're, but again, it's three game sample size coming off what he did earlier in the season. So you just have to see if he can keep doing it. That's the hardest thing to find is consistency, but I feel like he's seeing things faster. The arm talent is, I mean, we've seen it more, and I think in part because there've been opportunities for him to show it more. It's always been there, right? I mean, he's made some very good throws, and I think good decisions, better decisions. So it's probably getting more comfortable in the offense and all those things. So is this what he is? You know, I don't know that. But if he keeps doing this, then the discussion continues to shift at least toward, yeah, it totally makes sense to give him another crack at it next year.
I would answer it this way. Had it continued on the trajectory that it was on before these three games, you are going to be forced to do something at quarterback if you're the Titans, whether that's in the draft or in free agency. I mean, if it continued that way, bringing Will Levis back as your starting quarterback next year was not an option. Like, it just was not. If he continues this way, it's an option. Like, you don't have to force yourself into a quarterback decision. Now, that doesn't mean you don't make one. We talked about it yesterday. Like, if you go through your draft evaluation and you're in a spot where you're able to land a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders, whoever it is, and you're convinced that that person is your franchise quarterback, then you do it. You take the franchise quarterback. Or if I don't know, like if Sam Darnold becomes available in free agency and you want a shot at Sam Darnold and you feel like he gives you a much better chance to win than Levis and could be your long-term quarterback, then you do it if that's the decision you come to. What I think this does is it makes him coming back as the starter next year, if he continues this, a viable option, whereas before I do not think it was. Like I don't think you could have sold that before.
Yeah, before this stretch, I probably would have said the best case for him next year would be part of a competition. That could be a competition with a rookie. I mean, if you draft, you know, you draft one of those guys, you still may, I mean, to me, it's always smart to not want to play the rookie right away. So then Levis still could have been the starter next year, but then you know eventually what's going to happen. Or in a competition, I guess, with a veteran. But I think now it's possible that it's Levis and a backup, and you're just trying to do everything you can, again, to help him with, of course, fixing the offensive line, which is easier said than done because the Titans have been trying to work on that offensive line for years now, and they continue to spin their tires at the tackle position. But that's that and an edge and a receiver and all the different things to try to help a quarterback do his job better. I think that's now on the table. And I don't think it – for me, it wasn't a good idea before watching him play like this the last three games.
So if Will Levis continues to play like he has the last three games, is he the quarterback next year for the Tennessee Titans? Is that good enough? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football presented by Prince's Hot Chicken. Commodores taking on Tennessee at First Bank Stadium with pregame beginning at 9:30, kickoff at 11 a.m. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Also tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 6 o'clock for our college football game of the week. Oklahoma taking on LSU presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Chris and Dixon says, if Levis continues his current trend, he'll be the quarterback next year. Odds are they'll win one or two more games. If that happens, Titans will be picking sixth or later, putting Ward and Shedeur Sanders out of reach. Darnold would be a terrible idea. He'll be expensive, and he's got one good year on a team with Justin Jefferson. Compare that to how many bad years Darnold has had. Would you pay $50-plus million for that risk? First off, I don't think Darnold's going to get $50-plus million. I would be surprised.
Yeah, he'll probably be in the 35 to 40 range, though.
Yeah, I would
but, look, I understand what you're saying, but I think Darnold, it kind of goes along with a lot of what we talk about with quarterbacks, right? Sometimes they're bad early and then they get better. I mean, Kaharski has been saying this for a while about Levis. Like, you know, like 2-3 years, he's going to emerge somewhere else and he's going to be good. He's going to be good enough to start. And that may be true. Maybe it's here. Maybe you don't. Maybe that's why you don't give up on someone so quickly. Again, I'm looking at Bryce Young, who I know what I saw when he was at Alabama, and I understand how loaded Alabama was. Looking at Bryce Young right now with his second chance with Carolina, if you watched any of that Chiefs-Panthers game, he was pretty good, man.
Yep.
And he has looked terrible early, so with terrible surroundings. I mean, it's – so I like the Darnold – the dismissing Darnold having this year because it was Jefferson and because he was bad early, he was bad with the Jets and the Panthers, yep. And he has gotten better, right? Like, there's no question to me he's at least like a – some level of starting QB in the NFL, which I would
he's
never
say. He's a good player right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And that can happen, and it's not – I don't think it's just like, by the way, Justin Jefferson.
Like, everybody just assumes that he's going to be available. I understand that they took J.J. McCarthy in the first round. But if, like, the Vikings go 13-4 this year and they end up, you know, going to the NFC title game.
And win a playoff game?
They're just going to –
just going to the rookie?
They're just going to turn it away from him after that? Maybe they will. I don't know. I know it's a high pick on J.J. McCarthy. I'm just saying, I don't know that it's just like some foregone conclusion that he's going to be available and out there.
I'm with you. I think that they have to really be having serious conversations about keeping him. And if you're him, this is the best football you've ever played. So why is that? I mean, I think Kevin O'Connell is definitely a quarterback-friendly coach.
By the way, Sam Darnold's 27. So it's not like you're dealing with some ancient quarterback there either. Like, he's still got plenty of football left in him. If this is what he is, like if he is this player now and he's this good, he's got plenty of football left in him.
Yeah, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think that's a very fair point.
So if he does become available, maybe an option for the Titans there. I don't know.
I think they'll – I mean, again, if it keeps going this way, he had his little – he had the, what, like five picks in two games or whatever it was, and it's like, uh-oh. But if it's going to – if he's going to keep winning and playing well, then, yeah, I think the market for him gets more and more robust.
I got one texter that says, if this is what Levis actually is and can improve on what he showed Sunday, yes, he's back next year. But that's a huge what if. Bradford on the text line says, I'm with Kuharsky, saying he's good enough to be the quarterback while you fix everything else that needs addressing around him. And that's kind of, I guess, where I'm at with this discussion right now. What you don't want to have happen, really ever, but certainly right now if you're the Titans, you don't want to be put in a situation where you have to force it at quarterback if you're Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, this front office, right? Like, when you try to force quarterback, I mean, that can end up being disastrous for you. And like I said last segment, you know, if Levis had continued on the trajectory he was on, I think you were going to – that was going to be the case. Like, you were going to have to do something at quarterback. I'm not saying that you don't now, but if he continues this way, I think you're at least in a spot with the Titans where you don't necessarily have to force it, be that in the draft or in free agency. That's how you can end up – with bad decisions and years of ineptitude as a franchise when you're just repeatedly forcing it at the quarterback position and praying that something sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's – so, again, it's like if you totally believe one of those guys – and the texture we read earlier, maybe right, you know, if you're picking eighth or whatever it is, Titans may be screwing it up, winning games, and like a Ward and a Sanders wouldn't be – within reach, who knows? I mean, that's how it often works out. But then, like you saw 2 years ago, when everybody says it was a bad draft class, and that's how it worked out in the drafting. Yeah. So that they might be available for you. And then it's like if you're doing it because God, we need a quarterback. Well, then that's the wrong reason. It has to be yes, full belief in this particular prospect. And if that's the case, and you can make it happen, then do it.
Well, the thing is, right now, you know, I hesitate to talk about the draft order right now because it can change. But, you know, Tankathon.com's got the Titans at 6. Well, in front of them is Jacksonville, the Giants, the Raiders, New England, and Carolina. Well, Jacksonville's not taking a quarterback.
Sure.
New England's not taking a quarterback. They just took Drake May. I mean, I guess there's a chance Carolina could, but Bryce Young is starting to play better. So are they taking a quarterback? You feel pretty good about the Giants and the Raiders taking a quarterback.
Those two are, yeah. I mean, like, it's probably Sanders and Ward probably are like at one place and the others at the other place is how
most likely
guess right now.
Yeah, most likely. Although, you know, Carson Beck looked pretty good in the second half against Tennessee. Maybe he gets back into the good graces.
Well, he all of a sudden – and then
like if he goes on some playoff run here with Georgia and looks good, who knows?
Sure. And the guy who has been surging, Jalen Milroe, looked like he'd never played football before the other night. So
bad.
I don't – yeah, it's – it's tough sledding this year to me with the QBs.
Well, and then, like, you know, these QBs are going to get scrutinized immensely by the time the draft comes around. You know, we talk about this every year. People take quarterbacks too high. Sometimes they don't, though. Like, think about the Kenny Pickett year. Like, Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback taken in the first round, and what was he, 17th overall?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen this year. I'm just saying people just automatically assume that the quarterbacks are going off the top of the board. And, like, the Raiders may look at it and say, golly, we don't like any of these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. I don't know.
Usually, like,
then they go sign Aaron Rodgers.
Like, someone, you know, like, will want to get in there. And I think these guys will go high, those two at least, Ward and Sanders. But, yeah, it's not a guarantee. This could be one of those years where the overall class of quarterbacks is just they all move down a little bit, and it's a weird draft.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans and Will Levis, plus Rex Road with a sports take from this weekend. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter, Joe, says, as in college and like last year, Levis had a good game and two games that weren't a disaster, as if he'll be the next Mahomes. Still don't understand Kuharsky's love of Levis, but he's lost his edge as a journalist.
Wow.
The sudden talk that Levis is so great is wishful thinking at best. No way that I've changed my mind. Dump him. He'll be at best a low, moderately competent, off-engine player.
Everyone sucks. Google Gaga sucks.
Lost his edge as a journalist.
Yeah, wow. So if you have an opinion that doesn't match yours, you've lost your edge as a journalist. So was Kaharski's edge that he used to just say, everyone sucks? Is that what we're saying?
Well, that's my first question to PK tomorrow is why
have you lost
your edge as a journalist, and what can we do to regain that edge?
Also, this is David. Yeah, David in Nashville, who is, by the way, a big stilly guy. Big stilly believer.
Okay.
Just saying, that's fine. But, you know, I'm just putting it out there. It seems like there's some, like, if you really like Jared, you probably really don't like Kaharski kind of thing.
Although,
I guess.
I mean, as you pointed out, there are some similarities.
Well, for sure. I mean, this is like Harry Potter and what's his name?
Voldemort?
Yeah. Right?
I mean, he must not be.
Kaharski looks just like Voldemort. Stilly doesn't look like Harry too much, but
at least he's got hair.
That's good. Yes, that's true.
I mean, PK kind of does look like Voldemort.
I mean, he kind of does. Stilly's like, you know, they share the same.
DJ Burnside, get on it, baby.
Blood or whatever. They have the same spleen or whatever happened in that show.
Spoiler alert.
I don't know that Kaharski loves
Harry Potter and Voldemort share a spleen. You heard it here first.
Isn't that what it is? Something like that, right?
Sure.
The lightning strike his forehead? I don't know. I don't think that Kaharski loves Levis. He's just saying, like, he might be the QB. He might be good at some point. You know what? Here's the thing, David. That's why we're talking about, okay, do it again and do it again and do it again, right? Maybe that's what this turns out to be. It's like a couple good games, and then you go back, you revert, and then it's pretty simple. But it seems like it might be some improvement that's sticking a little bit. Well, maybe.
Look, I hope it is. Look, I made my feelings on Levis pretty clear this year. I'm out. But it would be great if this got fascinating. Like if the Titans had a legitimate decision to make at the end of the year of, man, this guy showed us something down the stretch. So what do we do at quarterback? And look, I'm with everybody else. Like I'm not necessarily in love with this quarterback class coming out in the draft. Now, that doesn't mean that – I mean, really all it takes – everybody talks about the draft class of the quarterbacks all the time. I mean, really, it's you got to find one. Like, you got to find one that you like, and if you have an opportunity to pick him and it's the one that you like, well, that's really what matters. It doesn't really matter what the rest of the class looks like. But, I mean, I'm not necessarily convinced that any of these guys coming out are going to be, like, high-level NFL quarterbacks. So if that's the case, what you don't want to have happen if you're a Titans fan is to be like, well, we got to take a quarterback, so let's just go take one. And then you end up in the same situation 2 years from now where you're – right back in quarterback purgatory and doing this thing all over again.
Yeah. Josh in Kentucky has a very long, I'm happy for you or sorry that happened, post about quarterbacks. But, you know, the point about, and a very fair point about teams moving on too fast. We talk about it all the time. Teams moving on too fast from quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, Cleveland, there's a good example. He says, I know there are teams around the league salivating at the thought of Levis being traded or cut.
I don't know about that.
I think that might be a little bit of an overstatement. But, the point remains, teams give up too quickly. And it's just – but still, like, there's also examples of giving up, and it was like that was the right thing to do. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Josh Rosen could have been great. But seems like, yeah, he just – I mean, a lot of these guys, Pickett ever going to get another chance? Mac Jones has had a little bit of a chance this year.
Not very good.
I kind of see it. I kind of see giving up on him. I mean, there's plenty of guys who – way more are still not going to work out, right? Like, way more, even the ones that have given up on quickly – most of them aren't going to work out, but some do.
Well, as we discussed, like the days of waiting 4 or 5 years for a quarterback to figure it out, I think are, if they're not gone, they're fading fast, right? Like, you know, Marcus, his second year was good, right? So that bought him some time, and he got the full 5 years. And
he won a playoff game the next year, but it was a little bit of a step back in overall
right.
production.
Well, and you're talking about a number two overall pick, so that factors into it as well, and Levis is in the second round. So there's a lot that's different about it that way, but I do think in general around the league right now, the days of waiting 3, 4, 5 years for your quarterback to figure it out just doesn't happen as often anymore. Like it's – if you don't show them – I mean, I continue – like the Steelers are a great example, right? Like the Steelers are patient in pretty much every aspect of their organization, right? They've had 3 head coaches in the history of their franchise. Like they are in many ways like the model of what NFL teams try to be. And they saw basically a year and a half of Kenny Pickett, and we're like, yep, okay, wash our hands of that guy. Like, that's more and more what it is in the NFL now.
Yes, So this brings me to something I did want to talk about today, which is Anthony Richardson, who fits well into this whole thing. And I'd like to hear from Indy Ben. I mean, Indy Ben has kind of abandoned us.
He did weigh in on Stilly's show yesterday, though. So
So he can talk to Stilly, but not us. Oh, we're a little too tough for you. Stilly's a little too easy on Indy Ben. So I was with this child's older brother at Lucas Oil Stadium Sunday for Lions Colts, and you know, at one point I looked up, or maybe he said to me, he's like, you know, he's 8-for-22 right now, Anthony Richardson, and I was like. So then you look at the numbers, 11-for-28, 172. And I swear to you, I came away from that game thinking that he wasn't that bad. He threw a dime that was caught. He threw a couple that were not, that they have to be caught. There was no running game to speak of. And he has a good running back, but that's one thing the Lions are good at. And I actually came away from that game feeling better about Anthony Richardson than I have, certainly, than like before the Jets game, right? And I just, you know what? I think he has a chance to be a player. I do. I still think he has a chance. But it's going to be really interesting on that front, too, in the same discussion, the patience. It is different when you're drafted that high. And there are still some throws he misses that you're like, man, that's a layup. You got to have that one. And that may be the thing that does him in. But, man, he did not deserve – those numbers make it look like, oh, God, he's terrible. He didn't deserve those numbers. He really didn't. And so he's another guy who it's going to be really interesting, and it may end up being a thing where then he gets a coaching change and whatever. Oh, I mean, that's the problem too, is the continuity. The Bears are about to change their coach again.
Yep.
And that's part of the problem with all this too.
Well, and we got this text earlier. Like, Bryce Young starting to show some signs that – he's improving. Levis, the last 3 weeks, showing some improvement. You know, C.J. Stroud, who, by the way, I still think is pretty good. Had a bad game on Sunday, no doubt about that. But we did get a text earlier like, what if at the end of all this, Stroud is the one that ends up not being very good, and Levis and Young and Anthony Richardson are always the ones that that improve and have lasting careers with their teams. Good habit.
I'd probably keep the money on Stroud at having the best career of the bunch.
I would, too.
But these other guys – aren't done, and that is a thing. Especially like with Levis and Bryce Young, earlier this year it was like, oh, so they're just both toast. And here they are playing pretty good football. And one other point to make, if Indy Ben is listening, you know, Bob Kravitz wrote, you know, this week that it was an all-time embarrassment for the Colts. That stadium was more than 50% Lions fans. So I understand.
Tier one fan base?
What's that?
Tier one fan base?
I mean, pretty good showing from that fan base, but also – I mean, the Colts are still in. I mean, the Colts could have moved right into good position had they won with the Texans losing. And they're in the race. You got Anthony Richardson, and you more than half your stadium is the other team's fans. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, Indy absolutely.
Indy Ben, if you'd like to weigh in, let me know.
Fred from Ashland City on the text line says, I know everyone wants Joe Burrow, but this team won a lot of games with 225 yards, 2 touchdown Tannehill. If Levis is just solid and they build the team up, they should be fine. This is from Fred from Ashland City on
right.
The text line.
That's true. Now, fine, but fine is what you're looking for, right? You're trying to win it all. Can you win it all with a good quarterback and a great team around him? Yes. It doesn't happen too often, but it does happen. I mean, and certainly we've seen a lot of Super Bowl losers in recent years where it's that, right? But usually the winner is a great quarterback. But again, when's the last – not great quarterback to win a Super Bowl?
Nick Foles.
Yeah. The Eagles beating the Pats.
Yeah.
Tom Brady. Man, what happened, Brady? That's a tough loss, man. How'd you lose to Nick Foles? Eli Manning twice. Just wondering.
By the way, shout out to DJ Burnside on Twitter, who has come up with the Jerry Potter and Paldemort graphic that has been thrown out there. I've retweeted it at R. Stanley NHL.
But how do you do that fast?
DJ Burnside. Really doing the Lord's work on Twitter.
Like I said, Caroline, are you listening? I just want a book of DJ Burnside's graphic illustrations.
615-737-1025, our phone number.
You don't care.
615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines. We'll also get back into the struggling Nashville Predators from last night as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts, our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, rough night for the Nashville Predators last night. They lose 5-2 to the New Jersey Devils. So after maybe their best game of the year on Saturday against Winnipeg, they follow it up and just get smoked by the Devils last night, 5-2. Nico Hischier, a natural hat trick in the second period. And now the Preds are 7-12-3 on the year. So, I mean, we're 22 games in. They won 7 of them. It's not very good. And you keep waiting for them to break out of it. And look, I'll be honest, the more time goes on, the more you just wonder, like I said last week, is this just what they are? Like, is this just the team that they are? They're at 17 points. You know, we're getting close to Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, which is really kind of when people start looking at the standings. You know, Edmonton and Colorado are in the wild card spots right now. They're both at 24 points, and you're at 17. So you're 7 points back of a playoff spot right now, which doesn't sound like a ton, but it can be a lot to make up over that stretch. And like I said last week, the most concerning part of it is not necessarily the record. The record is not good. But if you're playing well and you're starting to figure out your game, I think there's still enough time to overcome the record. Problem is, they'll have a game like Saturday night where I thought they took a pretty major step forward 5-on-5. And last night in the second, third periods, they just looked terrible. They looked awful last night. And the more they do that, the more you just have to wonder, is that just what it's going to be all year?
Well, it's very frustrating, and there's just nothing you can hang your hat on, and it's basically 2 out of every 3 games is quite bad, right? I mean, that's basically what it's been. I don't know if the other game is as good as the Winnipeg game was either, but like when you see that, you know, it's like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So why can't they figure this out? Why are they so prone to just taking backward steps?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, Andrew Brunette talked after the game Saturday, and, you know, Marchessault brought this up too. Like, they made some little tweaks and adjustments 5-on-5. And basically the way Brunette described it was, it wasn't anything that was like sweeping changes, but basically simplified some of the things you do with the puck. And it seemed to work really – whatever they did seemed to work really well on Saturday. And last night, nothing. I mean, they just didn't get anything going 5-on-5. And, you know, Forsberg – I mean, they got 2 5-on-5 goals. Forsberg shot one from the boards. It was a good shot, but, like, I think it just kind of stunned Markstrom that it got on him that quick. And then you had a breakaway with LaRue that beat Markstrom 5-hole. But other than that, like, you just didn't generate anything 5-on-5. It's just not – there's not anything happening out there. And then last night, I mean, the Devils are a little bit of an extreme example because they're really, really fast. Like, they got a lot of speed. But last night it was pretty evident that the Predators could not skate with New Jersey. I mean, they just got skated in circles last night.
And that's been happening. I know they had their own coaching change, but that was the same thing last year, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's like the way the Preds play doesn't suit that team very well.
Yeah.
But you know, it's going to be interesting here at home this week. Like, I think a lot of Preds fans, to me, almost seem like they're resigned. And I mean, if you're the Preds, and like if you're Barry Trotz, we're having the discussion at the Athletic about who, you know, buyers and sellers right now. Like, how are things trending? To me, with what the Preds have done, the Preds need to be a buyer. That's how I look at it. Well, but I mean, it's I get the counterpoint. But well,
what are you selling?
Well, yeah,
you know.
You have 3 first-round picks.
I mean, yeah. Like, what are you selling? Like, Nyquist? Novak? Like, who's
– well, I'm saying they got to be buyers.
I know that, but, like, yeah. I'm saying, like, if you took the approach of being a seller, what are you selling?
Yeah, yeah, for
sure. There's not a ton to sell right now. I mean, it's a really tough spot to be in. And, again, the conversation is going to come back to the coach. And like I said last week, I like Andrew Brunette. I think Andrew Brunette's a good coach. But the longer this goes on, the more that conversation is going to come up. And, you know, I said 5-10 games in, I thought the conversation was ridiculous. The fact that this continues to be happening 22 games into this is very concerning. And it does not bode well on Andrew Brunette right now.
YouTube chat Kurt, there's nothing to figure. This is who they are. There's no more figuring. There's no chemistry. This is who they are. Stop with this. Redemption says, same thing. You know, this is what they are. Unless there's a major shakeup in the roster behind the bench, team is going to play at this clip for the next 60 games. You don't know that, but I understand people thinking that.
Sure.
I mean, it's hard at this point when you've got a quarter of the season in. I mean, you have to kind of go with what the evidence is, and it's
the evidence is bad.
It's bad. It's not. I mean, it's not ambiguous. It's pretty clear. It's just still hard for me to believe.
Well, you know, Marc Sessot, I thought, had a great game Saturday and then went back last night to basically just being invisible. Novak, I said it at the time, people thought I was crazy. They shouldn't assign him to a contract extension. He's not that good. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't really care what the underlying numbers say on Tommy Novak. Watch the guy play. Like, he's not good. He's not built for the way they want to play, and he's an absolute no-show offensively. Ryan O'Reilly has not scored in the month of November still. I mean, I said this to you, I think, off the air last week. The most concerning part about all this to me, and, you know, last night he got chased from the game, but it wasn't really his fault. Saros is playing great so far this year, and this is still how bad they are. Like, think about that.
Yeah, top 10 power play, best penalty kill, goalies pushing 920, and you're this bad. Just the age and some people falling off the cliff, which was something we talked about. Like, at some point, it will happen for some players, right?
Yeah.
Is it as simple as that?
Well, if that's what it is, we're in for a long few years here, I think.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know that there's enough solutions with some of the younger guys coming fast enough to change that. Like, we talked about when you signed Stamkos and Marc Sessot and Shea, like, you're all in. And I know, like, Barry Trotz has talked about trying to, like, thread that needle of being all in and being a threat while bringing up some of the young guys. That's a really difficult thing to do.
Well, that works if you're good.
Yeah.
Because you have these picks and you do have some guys, but when you're this, then, yeah, now you're looking at a barren time period.
It's a really difficult thing to do. And, you know, we're almost 25 games in. And Brady Shea, I mean, he had another brutal turnover last night. He's just been terrible so far. Jonathan Marceau has been bad. Stamkos has been good on the power play. 5-on-5, there's nothing going on offensively there. It's just they're in deep trouble right now. Deep, deep trouble.
No doubt. Caroline, you have a final word? Like? Literally?
Like. Wait, can I say something?
Actually, hurry.
Okay, to all my haters, you're literally hating on a 14-year-old girl.
Hey, there we go. Yeah, there we go.
Literally.
Parting shot.
Literally.
Caroline, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.